Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's lovely to see you all here today. Thank you for coming along. Just as a bit of housekeeping today, we've got a lot of things happening today. Firstly and foremost, we have at the end of church today an emergency evacuation practice. These things need to be done once or twice in the year. And so right at the end of church today, after we've sung the last song and said a little prayer, I'll say, let's evacuate the building, and there'll be people from church here in our parish council who will guide you out quickly. That doesn't mean you can dash to the toilet like this woman has and hide in the toilet, all right? Or think that you can just leave everything and pack everything, you know, just, oh, no, I've got to get this, I've got to get that. Go immediately out the front door and then up through, out the back, down the side passage, up down the side of the street here, to where the emergency evacuation point is, and there it is up on the screen, just on the corner up here. Normally, the other evacuation points are from here, which you'd go into our backyard, and then out through the gate, the dog is inside, and around this way, or if you're in the halls up there, you'd be coming down this way and out the door, and meeting at the evacuation point. But today, the imaginary fire is just here, and so we're going to be going across and out this way here. All right, is that clear? Any questions about that? All right, the second thing today is that we have the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion. It's a time when we remember God's great love for us and the love we ought to have as his church. And so during the Lord's Supper today, we're encouraging now for you to come to the table. All right, so what will happen is that Simon and I will go to the table first and have communion, and the newsos will come up at that time too, so and just be here and have your communion. And then what we do then is that you will come up. But if you choose to stay in the pews today, that's fine still. I know there's some of us who may still be a little concerned about COVID. That's fine, all right? So please stay. You would have received a little individual cup and wafer in that time, but we're encouraging our church to come forward to the table to take of communion when we're able to do so. Any questions about that? All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to church. A special welcome to those who may be visiting us today or listening to us online. My name is Trevor. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Well, helping me today in today's service, we've got Rosemary on guitar, Fiona on the keyboard, and Young Lan and Linda as our musos. Kay is going to be reading to us from the Bible, and Simon will be leading us in prayer, and I'll be teaching us from the Bible as we continue our little Bible teaching times through going over the basics. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. And so we invite you to know God with us in that way. Today, as I mentioned, we continue our little Bible teaching time, our sermon series, through going through the basics. And we're just asking the question again and thinking about it, do I have to go to church? All right, and we're looking at what does it mean to be the church? And how does that shape our questions? Today, I said, is the Lord's Supper. And if you love the Lord Jesus and are in fellowship with your brothers and sisters, please come to the table and take of the Lord's Supper and remember God's great love for you. Our mission focus for February has been on the work of Scripture, or SRE, Special Religious Education, in our local schools, and that's got off to a good start, hasn't it, Fiona? We both teach Scripture. I've got two kindy classes, and Fiona's got two first and second classes. We both teach at Russell Lee and at Abbotsford Public School. If you want to contribute towards the scripture material that goes towards the children, that's why those little envelopes are at the end of each pew. You can put a gold coin in that and that'll go towards contributing towards paying for those workbooks for them. It was so lovely. My little kindergarten class, I'm digressing, there's a lot to do, but I've got to tell you this. My little kindergarten class, all the kids, I've only got nine of them, all right, in the two schools. That's okay, all right. But all of them, they don't come here, but all of them go to church somewhere. And at the end of my little time, we said, let's pray. And we know how to pray. And it was was just awesome. The little kids around there leading in prayer at that time. So I want to encourage you that we connect into the schools, even though we may not see, and the Bible talk times that we've started here with the preschool have got off to a great start, and every child is coming along to that at the preschool. We're overflowing in the playgroup as well, and that's wonderful, that ministry there that we have, kind of like a church during the week to families and kids. So we've got much to thank God for. The sentence of scripture for today comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. It's always special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord, says the psalmist. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands moulded the dry land. Let's stand and sing our first song, We Are One.
We are one in the Father's love. We are every tribe and every tongue. We are found in the risen Son.
We read in Scripture, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Brothers and sisters in Christ, God calls us to live our lives to his glory. And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." But we fail to honour him as we should and to respond to his love for us. So recognising our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace, let us confess our sins together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to love you and our neighbour, and to live for your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. When you think of church, what comes to mind when you think of church? I think usually when people think of church, they think of a place. And I think if someone said, "I'm going to church," we might think, "Oh, this building here, this is church." And it is. It's what people think. It's a building. It's called the church. It's a place where people go to and they meet together. And at church, we may have kids' church or youth group, or we may have Bible studies, or we may do other things during the week at the church. I'm going to church. I'm at church. I belong to the church. There at church, many people might just think that church is a place where rituals are done. All right. For example, people get married at church, or they have their kids done at church, or baptized at church, or they have their funeral at the church. But whether you have your funeral at the church, or part of the Bible study groups that are there at that place, or you've got married at the church, or you've been baptized at the church, or you go and you gather at the church, and yes, the church is a building, but the church, according to God, is the people. The people. It's you and it's me together. But not only us here, but anyone who calls on the name of the Lord as their Saviour and King. And so this little boy is quite right. A good way of describing the church is family. You can pick your friends. You're stuck with your family, all right? Okay? We're family. And We're a family under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is the head of our family. And we come from all different backgrounds, sizes, ages, different sorts of cultures and backgrounds that we may come from. But we come as a family under the banner, under the roof, under the protection of God. And the scriptures remind us that we are God's household, which is the church of the living God, the family of believers. And you became part of this family when you became a Christian, when you put your trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ on your behalf. You were adopted into his family as a child of God's. And he sees you now, and he sees me now, as if looking at his very own son because of the work that Jesus has done for you in making us right with God, which we looked at last week. And so the question people sometimes ask is, well, should I go to church? Why go to church? And I think you can sort of realize it now. If we see it as a building or as a place where we do something, then that question sort of makes sense. Oh, do I want to go to that building? Do I want to do the things that are there? But when we realize that church is a family, then meeting with our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether of a Sunday, over a coffee in the cafe, to have fellowship together, or a Bible study, or doing something during the week together with our brothers and sisters, is churching together. And so the scriptures today we're going to be reminded of, we may at times feel like not meeting together, but we're family. And I need you to meet with me, and you need me to meet with you, all right? And to help each other and to build each other up and to encourage one another. It'd be good just to think about now, before we sing our next little song, our family song, why is it that you come to hear? Just think about it for a moment. I am going to get you to turn to somebody, to move up closer to different people, and just say, why is it that you come here? What is it that is about you? And I want you to be honest with each other, all right? I know the answer is, I know it's like the kids, when you do the kids talk, you know, the little kids, you keep describing, okay, boys and girls, what's Fluffy? Got little Fluffy ears, you know? And the kids all look at you and go, And they go, what's Fluffy? Got little ears, got little claws, lives in gum trees. And the little boy puts up his hand. Trevor, I know the answer's Jesus, but it sounds so much like a koala bear, all right? I know that you know the answers, all right? But for me, I really enjoy leading church, all right? I enjoy hearing you sing. I enjoy those things. I enjoy catching up with you because I don't get to see you all during the week. That might be your reason. It might be the coffee. It might be the biscuits. It might be who you meet and things. So just turn to the person next to you. Please, if someone's a little bit of a distance away from you, please take the effort now just to go a bit closer and meet with them and just say, safely, if you want to be safely, and just tell them why you come here, why you church here. Introduce yourself first off. All right. Come and sit down again. At this point, I'm hoping you might sort of sit a little bit closer to the person that you just had a chat with. But I know that might be that's okay. That's okay. We kind of move to seats where we like to be comfortable too. That's okay. That's all right. But don't be afraid to sit a little bit closer to others too. All right, safely. Just a couple of people like to share their answers, why they come to church, or why they come here. Might be really good just to hear. Kay, yep. For feeding. Yep, for feeding. Yeah, so I gather that's meaning morning tea as well as being fed by others here, encouraged in that way. Okay, thanks, Kay. One other person. Next. Yeah, be amongst brothers and sisters. It's such an encouraging thing to know that, especially when we go out from here, we feel like we're the only one in the world, you know. And so it is really good to be able to know that when we come, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that's a Christian, you know, in this place. Isn't that good? All right, one more. Someone over here. Jennifer, yep. The people, yeah. I think that is, to be able to know that we have a family. We may not have family elsewhere, or they might be overseas, or maybe dysfunctional, but here we have a family. It's not perfect. Just look at me, all right? Okay, why are you laughing? we may not be perfect, but we can forgive and be a family together, all right? Sometimes it's hard to do that on a Sunday morning. Sometimes it's hard to do that during the week, whether we're young or old, all right? And God knows that, and each one of us know that too. But I hope that what we listen to today from God's word, we may think, oh, it's such a privilege to be part of this family. And it's more than the coffee to why I come and meet here. Colin's going to lead us in a song. I'm going to get you to stay seated while we sing this song because it's a new one and you may not know this one. But it's Colin basically telling us sometimes there's things we don't want to do, all right? But it's good that we should do it because God tells us to. We who are kids know what that's like when our mum and dads tell us to do things. The church is God's family, so let's consider how we may spur one another on to love toward good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Sing along when you get the hang of the song.
Well, if you love the Lord, you can sing and shout. And if you love the Lord, you can dance about. Oh yeah. But if you love the Lord, well, you better obey. 'Cause you've got to do what the Lord's saying. You've got to do whacka do whacka do. You've got to do what the Lord's saying. You got to do whacka do whacka do. You got to do what the Lord says. Well, if you love the Lord, sometimes you're glad. If you love the Lord, well, sometimes you're sad. Oh dear. But if you love the Lord, well, you better obey. You got to do what the Lord says. You got to do whacka do whacka do. You got to do what the Lord says. You got to do whacka do whacka do. You got to do what the Lord says. Well, Jesus laughed and Jesus cried. Jesus hurt and Jesus died. But he rose from the dead, 'cause he obeyed. You know, he always did what the Lord say. You got to do whacka do whacka do. You got to do what the Lord say. You got to do whacka do whacka do. You got to do what the Lord say. I say, you got to do whacka do whacka do. You got to do what the Lord say. You got to do whacka do whacka do. I said you got to do, you know, you got to do, you got to do what the Lord says.
Now just turning to the person next to you, just say good morning, welcome to church. The Lord be with you and also with you. Young people, we'll see you later over morning tea. Enjoy your Bible study time and kids' church. Oh, that's lovely, Erwin. Well done, little man. That's great. We'll see you at morning tea. We come now to our time where we read God's word together, and Kay will come up shortly and read them to us and say what we believe and then hear from the scriptures. Let me pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy scriptures, their precepts, promises, directions, and light. In them, may we learn of Christ, grasp his truth, and have grace to follow in his steps. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you might like to come forward. Our Bible reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. You can find that in your pew Bibles on page 1211, or you can follow along on the screen, or as normal in our handouts there in the news and notes. Thanks, Kay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Bible readings from Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In response to hearing God's word read, Christians down through the ages are encouraged to stand and affirm what they believe across the ages in confidence as to what God has spoken to them. So let's stand and say what we believe in this statement of belief called the Nicene Creed. Together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Open up your Bibles to 1211 or to the handout that's in your news and notes. There will be a reference to parts of Hebrews that I'll draw you to and to you can turn to, and I'll be reading to you. So it might be handy just to have the Bible there easy to access along the way. Well, Heavenly Father, we do again thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you don't leave us up with ideas about who you are, but you've told us who you are and how we are to live as your people in the church. And so, Father God, help me to teach your word correctly. May we experience your spirit guiding us into truth and able to apply it with your grace to our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the verses before you come from, of course, the big book or the letter called the Hebrews. We don't know particularly who wrote this letter. Could have been Paul, it could have been somebody else. But someone once told me that it's the place where us husbands are told that we make the coffee in the house, because it's Hebrews, all right? Sorry. I know, my wife's looking at me going, oh my goodness, do I know him? I told you, you pick your friends, all right? You're stuck with your relatives, no one's perfect, all right, true? But yeah, it's a book about Hebrews, and so the word itself, Hebrews, means it's suggesting, what do you think? Who might be the recipients of this letter predominantly? Hebrews. Sorry? Coffee growers. No. Thanks, Fiona. Certainly not coffee growers. No. Well, they might be. I don't think so. Not in that time. But Hebrews. Who speaks Hebrews? Yeah, sorry? Jewish Christians, yeah. Or people seeking to know who this Jesus is and how, you know, why he came into the world, gathered there with the other Hebrew or Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. So it's written with that meaning. They must have their Old Testament, their Bible in mind. So the writer's writing with references a lot to the Old Testament, to the way in which the Jew understood that they were right with God and why they met with God. And so it starts off with, in the opening verses there, we see a reference to the most holy place. The most holy place. The most holy place is a reference back to the Jewish temple and tabernacle, all right, where God's people met, and in the most holy place, God actually dwelt. And a heavy curtain actually separated the Holy of Holies, the whole most holy place, from all the rest of the people. And only once in the year would the high priest go in and sprinkle the blood on the altar behind that curtain for the sins of all God's people at the time. So once in the year, once off in the year. And so we have that in the background. And that would have been, just imagine going to the temple or going to the tabernacle before that, and not, I suppose we can't really imagine what that's like, because we know that God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, you know, all the, and he's here with us, and we can have access to God. Nothing stops us from sort of feeling that we can pray and meet with God. But every time they went into the building, into the tabernacle, there they would see this big, thick curtain that would separate them from God as a reminder to them of the holiness of God and of the unholiness of the people. And that was what it was in that time in history. And here we see that little reference mentioned right at the start here. And it starts off there in Hebrews chapter 10 there. It says, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence now to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. That must have been a revelational thought for these people to realize this, that they can go there. They can go into the presence of God and dwell with his, as all of us, not just the high priest anymore, can do this, because this heavy curtain had separated it. And you may recall that what happened when Christ died on the cross, both Matthew, Mark and Luke record for us there at the end of the Gospels. They record for us Matthew 27 and Mark 15 and Luke 23. At the time Jesus died on the cross, at that very time, the eyewitnesses, what did they say happened to the curtain? Do you know? Does anybody know? Yeah? Sorry? It was torn, right? And it was torn in half from top to bottom, right? Not bottom to top, but from top to bottom, right? And it opened up through there. And we read here, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence now to enter the most holy place, to be in the presence of God and to know God and to be right with God by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is now his body that was given on the cross. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's another reference to Jesus entering in, giving his blood in that place to atone for that. that since we have a great priest over the house of God, we have now here in these little verses three invitations, three let-uses, right? Three invitations which are imperatives, which are, yes, they're invitations, but as Colin would say, if you love the Lord, you'll do as you're told, right? You'll do what he asks you to do because it's for your benefit and for his glory. And the very first one there is, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. And sincere meaning not holier than thou, but just being an honest who we are, washed by God's blood. We remember last week we heard the gospel. The gospel is the way which God has put you right with him. And that's not through your good works or how much you know or don't know, right, about God or the Bible. It's about what Jesus, who he is and what he's done for you on the cross and rising from the dead to take away your sin on himself, on the cross, going to hell instead of us and saying it's finished, it's done for each person here. And God now looks at us as if he's seeing his own son, Jesus. And we may well say, as I always say, God, you don't know us very well. He does. That's the way he chooses to see us, en Christo, in Christ, as looking at his son. And so when we feel like we're not right with God, we need to be reminded that we are saved. We are right with God through the person and work of Jesus. And so it says here, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that trust in what God has done for us in Jesus, what faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Right? In other words, come into the presence. You can talk to God because he sees you now in Christ. And he sees you as who you are, but he sees you as forgiven and right with him. And we have that privilege to draw to him personally with him. So when we feel those times, oh God, I can't come to you. I don't feel right enough. Yes, confess the sin if it need be done. This, yes, but no, don't stop there. Run to him. It's an illustration I think I heard once about one of the presidents in America who had a son, a child, come rushing into the Oval Room and the security guards go, you know, it was early in the days of them coming and I said, oh, sorry, you can't come in, you know, hold off. And the president said, let him come in. Why? Because he's his child, you know, and to sit on his lap and to be there. We can go into the presence of God. We can come to him in prayer. And in fact, we're always there in that presence with him. And it's a wonderful thing. Don't hold yourself off. But also, it's a reference there to us. Let us draw near to God. And so the little plural words remind us that our relationship with God is not just merely a personal one, it's a corporate one too. And so it's inviting us to draw near to God. And that's what we're doing here today. We're drawing near to God in a practical way as we meet for church together to worship him. Let us draw near. And as we do, the second little imperative there, invitation is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. The hope that we profess is knowing that we're forgiven, that we're right with God, and where we're going. We're already there. It was lovely during the week here hearing our little couple of Bible study members just sort of say, oh, that's right, eternity has begun now, you know. I'm there with him now. Even though I'm here, I'm there, you know. And that whole concept of realizing that we are now there, the hope has already begun. Hold unswervingly. Why? Because unlike me, unlike you, God is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made there. Verse 23. And the very last let us, or imperative, or invitation there is to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And how do we spur one another on toward love and doing good deeds? He gives two examples. Not giving up meeting together. And that's just not talking about church. That's just talking about church, what we're doing now, but also during the week, on the phone, when in hospital. Hi, Cole, if you're listening to that, we're all thinking of you, all right? And others that might be at home today, we'll be praying for you, all right? We're mindful of keeping and connecting with people in that way. During the week, to meet together. One of the reasons why we've gone into Chiswick Manor and Bayswater Gardens and running a church service there, and why that already was begun many years at Chiswick and now has started at Bayswater, is it's evolving now into what they call now their church time. And so the residents there see this as their church time, and then they have a Bible study the second week. But not only that, it's just lovely connecting the residents up, knowing that when they go to have dinner or they're walking down through the aisles or past their rooms or to various, they can say, I said to them, say to each other, the Lord be with you and also with you, right? Just recognise that there is a part of your family that's there. And it's connecting, right? How are you connecting other brothers and sisters with other brothers and sisters as well around? So let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more, why? Encouraging, that word encourage. What do you think of when you think of encourage? Someone like to tell me, put up your hand and tell me what you think of encourage. Okay? You're the teacher's pet. You keep answering the questions. Sorry? Support, yeah. Okay, support one. What's another one for encourage?
Bravery.
I like how you've said that, because what word have you picked out of there?
Brave.
Courage. Courage, isn't it? N is the prefix for it. Courage. It's like saying giving someone courage to keep going, right? It's not just a pat on the back. Yeah. Peter, you want to say something?
Hope,
yeah. And that's that encouragement to keep that strength. The hope we have is not like the world has, maybe wishful thinking. We have a certain hope of what's coming, all right, and what has happened for us. Yeah, to encourage, to strengthen, to keep going. And so that's another reason why we meet together. And so you can see here, it's another thing I didn't mention earlier on is that sometimes we think when we come to church is what I get out of it. It's not about that, is it really? When we think about this, it's what actually we can give to the person next to you or to everybody else. I go to church because I'm looking to see how I can spur such and such on towards love and good deeds, how I can encourage them sincerely, you know, and in a way. It might be through prayer. It might be just listening. It might be just asking questions about how they're going, going over, mentioning something that you appreciated from what you've heard in God's word. So there we go. Because of what Jesus has done for us, he's brought us into his family. He's made us right personally, but also corporately as his people. This he's done through his own life, death, and resurrection. He's brought us into his family. And so even though at times we, you know, we have a personal relationship with God and a responsibility to maintain that relationship with the Spirit of God, we also have a responsibility out of thankfulness to God and out of what we can get out of it too, and what we can give for our sisters and brothers in Christ to build one another up, to encourage towards love and good deeds. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us of the reason why we go to church. And so, Father God, we know that we don't need to go to church to make us a Christian, but going to church may indeed make us a Christian when we hear the gospel or we hear the word and testimony. But we go to church to build each other up, to be encouraged, to keep on in our relationship with you out of love for you and thankfulness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Thanks for reminding us. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing. Before we do that, let's say a psalm. We're going through Psalm 119 together, each word. I don't know if you realise that now. Psalm 119 reminds us of the value of God's word in encouraging one another. So let's say this together. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I'm a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accused, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as he was in the beginning, so now and forevermore. Amen. Let's sing. We declare.
Just as a reminder, we go straight into the chorus on this, so everybody sing up nice and loud.
So we declare the praises of Jesus, Savior and King. He is the cornerstone. Hallelujah. And now we stand as his church until the day when he comes in glory.
Please be seated. Almighty God,
your Son, Jesus Christ, has promised that you will hear us when we ask in faith. Receive the prayers we offer. Let us pray that we may respond to the word of God. God, our Father, help us to hear your Son. Enlighten us with your word, that we may find the way to your glory. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Our mission focus. Heavenly Father, we remember before you our Anglican chaplains and those we will be supporting throughout the year, and those missionaries we are linked with by prayers and giving. For the chaplains in schools, hospitals, the defence force, the police force, and in prisons. And for our link missionaries in 2024, the Thomas family serving in Thailand with Interserve, the Blair family amongst refugees in Sydney with Pioneers, and the Pharisee family with Bush Church Aid Society in Kununurra. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for those who serve our communities. God of all creation, we pray for all who work in agriculture and farming, in all industry and commerce, in education, in health and social services, sports and the arts, in emergency services and defence forces. Enable them to fulfil their responsibilities with integrity and in service to our community, living and working in harmony and safety, using the fruits of their toil for the good of all, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. A prayer for Indigenous Australians. Creator God, you made from one man all nations and determined where each should live. We bring before you the Indigenous people of Australia. We acknowledge the history that has damaged the relationship between them and later arrivals to this land. Thank you for the steps that have been taken on the journey towards reconciliation. Deepen this process among us. Guide national and community leaders to speak the truth in love, to seek justice and mercy, and to care for those who are disadvantaged. Strengthen church leaders to shepherd your flock faithfully, and strengthen all Indigenous Christians to be salt and light in their communities and the whole nation. Give Indigenous and non-Indigenous believers grace to demonstrate the new family you are making in Christ out of people from every nation, tribe, language, and people. Prayer for those in authority. Almighty God, we pray for the nations of this earth and for our country, Australia. And our government leaders, we pray for our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, Leader of the Opposition, Peter Dutton, the Premier of New South Wales, Chris Minns, to all members of Parliament and to all who hold office in this land. Grant that their decisions may be based on wise counsel, so that peace and welfare, truth and justice may prevail among us and make us a blessing to all people. A prayer for the Anglican Church. Almighty God, we pray for the Anglican Church in Australia and especially our diocese in Sydney. We pray for Kanishka, our Archbishop, Michael, our Regional Bishop, and Trevor, our Rector. Fill your ministers with your Spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. We also pray for this congregation as we respond to your amazing grace and strive to live each day as ambassadors of your Son, Jesus. A prayer for refugees and victims of war. Lord God, no one is a stranger to you, and no one is ever far from your loving care. In your kindness, watch over refugees and victims of war, those separated from their loved ones, people who are lost, and those who have left home or have run away from home. Bring them back safely to the place where they long to be. Help us always to show your kindness to strangers and to all in need. A prayer for the sick, needy, poor and vulnerable. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for those who are sick and for those who minister to them. Grant them strength and perseverance in their weakness. In your mercy, quickly restore them to health of body and mind, according to your will, that they may give thanks to you in the presence of your people. Please take a moment to pray silently for those you know personally who are suffering. And finally, a prayer for practical love for one another. Throughout this week, let us hear your word that we may know and speak the truth and honour you in all we do. Lord, you have taught us that all our works without love are meaningless. Send your Holy Spirit, pour it into our hearts so that all we do this week, we do in your name. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. At the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death for sin. In this symbolic meal, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and strengthen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in the death of our Saviour. As we share bread and wine together, we're invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. We are faced again with God's love for the unworthy and are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. Come then with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, recognizing the significance of sharing in this way. If in good conscience today, if it would not be right for you to participate, please use this little time to reflect on God's love for us, for you in Christ. Let's pray together. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not worthy to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the same, Lord, always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Looking around at each one of us. There we go. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and always with you. To say the peace of the Lord to someone, peace of the Lord be with you and also with you. Please take a seat. Take a seat. It's good to be reminded. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, as you came in today, you would have received a bulletin and news and notes. And I just quickly draw your attention to the notes that are in there. Firstly, just a reminder that if you're intending to come to the World Day of Prayer on Friday, if you could just let me know at the end of church today that you're coming to that. It's at the Uniting Church starting at 10 o'clock. We're meeting there. Just let me know so I can let them know for numbers. We're thinking and praying for the church in Palestine at this month, this year. So if you can't be with us on that day, maybe during that day, just again, continue to pray for God's people, the church there in Palestine. Inside the bulletin, there's a number of announcements of just things that are coming up in March. We have our annual vestry meeting coming up in March, and so soon we'll be having some reports for you to read and hoping and also looking for wardens and parish councils at that meeting to come through. Are there any other announcements that need to be made that are on that, they're not in there? After church, well, thank you for giving towards ministry in this place and beyond. And our monthly focus for next month will be on the Bush Church Aid Society. But after church today, if you'd like, after our evacuation and you come back, all right, you can have some prayer here. And Fiona and Jeff, I think, yes, are ones who will be happy to pray with you after church today, after the evacuation and after church today. Please stay for morning tea and continue the fellowship. Let's stand and sing our final song. It's To Auld Lang Syne, All Glory Be to Christ.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. Do you who boast to
sentence of scripture together. Let's say it together. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise, glory, wisdom and thanks, honour and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.